RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
With the Crusher, Jeff Crochelle. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everyone. I am Jeff Crochelle. The con man is here keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, you know the drill. Go to crushperformance.com, drop us an email. You can follow us on Twitter, send us messages there at Jeff Crush, or check us out on Facebook. You can go to Jeff Crochelle, Crush Performance, or if you want to join our performance group, it's called The Talent Grid. Sign up there. We'll let you in and connect you to our world of performance. Today, a really interesting show. We're going to start it off with Dr. Penny Werthner, the Dean of the Faculty of Kinesiology at the University of Calgary, my alma mater. We're going to talk to her about the power of the mind. Look, there are a couple areas that are still wide open in terms of pushing human performance forward, and one of them is technology. And most certainly that means the equipment we use. We've seen it and we talk about it on this show time and time again. We're constantly pushing technology and the equipment we use to new levels to improve performance. And there's many examples of that. But technology is also helping us understand the human body and control and train the human body better. There's been some great advancements in terms of the computer sciences, but also combining that with the physiology and the psychology of the athlete. And that's what we're going to talk about with Dr. Werthner today, the power of bio and neurofeedback and the role it plays in pushing human performance forward. Because the second big area outside of technology is going to be the mind, the human mind, and psychology. Now, psychology has been around for quite some time now. It's gained a lot of acceptance, I think, over the last little while here. But what is happening right now in terms of not just understanding psychology and the psychology of athletes, but our ability to train them now with new technology that's available, it's never happened before in the history of mankind, and it's incredibly exciting. It's opening up doors that, well, frankly, a few years ago, we wouldn't have imagined being able to tap into an athlete's mind and get real-time feedback as to how their brain is operating. And there's exciting advancements coming up in the next few years. We're going to talk about all that with Dr. Werthner, so stick around for that. I'm really looking forward to that conversation, and I hope you are too, because right after the break, we're going to look at the very latest technology that's allowing us to mine untapped potential in the minds of our athletes with Dr. Penny Werthner right after this on Crush Performance. Everybody, stick around.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, go to crushperformance.com. You can get the blog, the newsletter. You can get all the links to the world of high performance. And you can also get our podcasts, which are available on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, and right there at our website. So getting right into it, there are a few areas where we still have the opportunity to really push human performance to new levels. Look, we have a really good understanding of the physical side. In terms of physiology, we understand higher, faster, stronger. It's not a problem giving time and resources to really max out physical potential. We also have a really good idea on the biochemical side, looking at nutrition and the 24-hour biochemistry of the human body. Matching that with physiology has been a game changer in a lot of different areas. But there are two areas that I think are really wide open for pushing human performance to the next level. And those two areas are technology, and not just in terms of the equipment we're using to compete, but also the technology that's allowing us to train and understand our athletes better. And of course, the mind. The mind is one of the areas where we are really pushing the envelope right now, in large part due to the technology that's available. Sports psychology has been around forever. It's gained more acceptance, I think, in recent times. But now the technology that's available and the strategies we now have for helping athletes control and understand how their mind works, how to focus and deal with anxiety, and how to pay attention to the important things and set aside the distractions and the issues that may not be so important, not just during and prior to competition, but over the course of a day. And here to talk to us more about this is Dr. Penny Werthner, the Dean of the Faculty of Kinesiology at the University of Calgary, former Olympian and psychologist. Dr. Werthner, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation as we sort of hone in and look at our performance series over the course of the summer. We had a great conversation with Dr. Kolb earlier in the summer, talking about where we're at in our understanding of the physical preparation for sport performance and injury prevention. And it really took an interesting twist where we both sort of concluded that, you know, the next real areas for mastering and getting into the potential of human performance is going to be the mind and technology. And of course, when we look at the area of sports psychology, where do you think we're at? Are we still in the infancy in our understanding of psychology, or do you think we have a pretty solid understanding now of that and we're just sort of mastering it?
Well, I think in the field of sports psychology, it's moved hugely in the last 10 or 12 or 15 years in the sense of acceptance of it from coaches and athletes in quite a wide variety of sports, in understanding that it really is a piece of the performance puzzle. It's not just about you have some big problem psychologically, but it's actually, you know, about helping you. It's a piece that enables you to perform better. So, you know, and that's really the essence of sports psychology. We're looking at individuals who, you know, quote unquote, can be considered normal and are actually trying to excel at what they do. So I think it's moved hugely. I think the piece that we're still understanding is how you actually learn those skills, and not just cognitively, but really inherently, so you can use them effectively in such a stressful environment, because high performance sport and that competitive environment is highly stressful. I mean, for sure, it's stressful at the Olympic level, at the World Championship level, at the World Series level. But it's also, you know, if you even think of young adults competing in sport on the way up, you know, national championships, provincial championships are stressful in the same way physiologically and psychologically as they are later on the world stage. And so the skills really need to be developed and honed and deeply learned so you can utilize them effectively in that stressful environment. And that's, I think, a piece that we're still working on for sure.
Yeah, Dr. Werthner, you know, you have a great background for this next question that I want to ask you, because you were an Olympian and one of the what I think is one of the most challenging events on the docket, the 1500 meters. You know, do you think it's changed? Do you think the environment for developmental athletes has changed? Is there more pressure now? My perception is there's way more pressure now to succeed and get there than there was maybe back in the day. You were one of those high performance athletes. Have you seen a change like that?
I think it is more stressful. And I think, you know, Olympic sport has been so much more competitive, and there is now, and certainly there was not in my day back in the 70s and 80s, you know, much money involved. And now there is. And of course, that changes. There's agents, there's sponsors. And on one level, or on one side of the equation, that's terrific, because it enables our athletes to stay in sport longer and actually, you know, realize their potential. But it also is hugely added stress. And of course, as sport has evolved over the last, you know, pick a number, but I'll keep on the sort of 10 to 15 years. I mean, more and more countries are competitive. More and more countries think it's important to do well internationally. So yeah, I think it is a more competitive environment. I don't think it wasn't not competitive and not stressful. You know, I think it was still competitive and stressful back in the 60s and the 50s, but the levels anteed up for sure.
We're talking with Dr. Penny Werthner, the Dean of the Faculty of Kinesiology at University of Calgary, former Olympian, as we talk the power of the mind and psychology here today. Well, it's interesting to see how we've progressed. And, you know, one of the things that's always concerned me here, and you mentioned that sort of 10 to 15 years, we've seen a massive shift. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the world of baseball, and the number of injuries we're seeing, Dr. Werthner, is catastrophic. It is an epidemic, and they're concerned right to the very, very heights of the sport. And a lot of it has to do, when we look back trying to analyze, to get answers as to why this rash of injuries are happening, well, and we know about it, we talk about it all the time in our world with Sport Canada, the overuse, the injuries, and early specialization, maybe pressures from the families, but that dream to chase down, you know, the high performance sports. But developmental sport has become an industry, and I think that also is sort of a piece of the puzzle in terms of the problems that we're seeing.
Well, very much so. I mean, I think what we need absolutely to get back to is kids. You know, in early teen years, I mean, obviously there's some sport specificity here, but in general and in many, many sports, you know, our young adults should be playing multiple sports. They should not be, you know, and there's many organizations talking about that, but they need to play different sports so they learn different physical skills, and they're also stressing their body physiologically in different ways. So I think that can help prevent some injuries in the early years of a competitive career. And I think you learn better skills, and I think you can actually become a better athlete. I mean, obviously at some point, if a young adult wants to be, you know, and try to be and work to be the best in the world, then at some point you have to specialize. But I think we've gone the wrong way in specialization for sure. But I also think one of the things we've learned, and I'm not a psychologist, not a physiologist, but from a physiology standpoint, we're now starting to really realize the importance of recovery in training and hard training. And I think we've done that physiologically. And now from my perspective, you know, some of the work I do is how you actually psychologically recover, how you, you know, slow down those brain waves so you're not thinking so much and thinking all day about how good you want to be. And that's also related to, you know, the physiology. So the mind and body are pretty closely connected, we know.
Yeah, most certainly. And that's one of the, I guess, really interesting, I guess, paradoxes in sport. We focus so much on the physical because it's tangible. We can feel it. We can see it. But the mind's been somewhat of a mystery and a puzzle. You know, you mentioned something very interesting when it comes to specialization and in trying multiple sports. I think, you know, most athletes will sort of gravitate towards sports that they're physically going to be successful at. But I think there's also something to be said, don't you think, Dr. Werthner, in terms of, you know, the psychology and the psyche of different sports? You know, you may be more suited psychologically for one sport than the other, and you may physically be able to be successful at both. But the mind side is very important as well, I think.
It is, absolutely. Yep.
If we were going to look at our young athletes today, and, you know, we talk about the combination between technology and the mind. You talk about, you know, sort of getting your thoughts in progress. There's been some very, very interesting developments, I think, in terms of the technological side that's now allowing us to not only kind of see what's happening in the brain, but allows our athletes to train it. This bio and neurofeedback systems that have come around, these have become what seem to me very, very powerful tools in the world of helping athletes succeed.
Well, they absolutely are. I mean, I think one of our difficulties in the field and profession of sports psychology is we are talking about, you know, how you manage effectively your thought processes. And of course, we can't see that. And so, you know, in my career in working with many, many different Olympic athletes and coaches over many, many Olympic games, you know, it became clear to me that, you know, many athletes would learn the skills of being well-focused, understanding what to pay attention to and manage themselves well over the course of a couple of years. But some athletes that I would have a good working relationship with still weren't learning that. They were still underperforming. And so when I had an opportunity to learn how to use biofeedback and neurofeedback and use the tools that are provided by various companies around the world, but Thought Technology in Montreal is one that it's enabled. What it does is the athlete And sometimes the coaches too, which is fun for them to see and helps them coach better, I think. But to stick with the athletes is they have electrodes on them physiologically and then electrodes on them neurologically or from an EEG standpoint. And we're able to then show them on a computer screen how they're reacting physiologically and psychologically or neurologically to stress. And then we're able to teach them how to manage that, and they actually see physically on a screen how they're getting better at that. So it is a huge complement to the work we do. And so I started doing that work back prior to the Vancouver Olympics in 2010 and was, you know, fortunate enough to have funding from our federal government and from our Own the Podium program to do that with the freestyle ski athletes leading up to Vancouver, where we were very successful with medals. As I think we all know, it was a great Olympics for us in Canada. But it really proved to be a very useful tool so that athletes could see what they were good at, what they weren't good at. And then, because it really is a training tool, we would work through 15, 20, 25 sessions, sometimes more than that, depending on the athlete, but certainly not less than that, to actually enable them to learn how to manage themselves better.
Oh, such powerful tools. We're talking with Dr. Penny Werdner, the Dean of the Faculty of Kinesiology at the University of Calgary. You know, we have heard from Jen Heil and great athletes like Alex Bilodeau and how powerful this program was for them heading into Vancouver and that whole competitive season. But we've also heard of AC Milan, pro golfers, pro tennis players delving into this world. So it's coming fast. Dr. Werdner, real-time brain training. This is an absolute breakthrough. I can't wait till this really, really catches on in sort of mainstream. And it goes well beyond sport, doesn't it?
Well, it absolutely does. I mean, I have actually used some of it with medical residents to prepare them for their exams. I mean, those are also hugely anxious times. So that is more, really, that would be more on the physiological and the biofeedback side, but it's proved effective. It's proved effective for dancers. So there's, you know, anyone that needs to perform in a stressful environment, it's a useful tool. And for the moment, it is absolutely been tremendous feedback for athletes. And I think what I've seen is just how they then learn over the course of a year's training, actually really deeply to change how they are when they need to change things so that they can actually manage that stress physiologically and understand what it means to just attend to one or two or three things depending on the demands of their sport. So for Jen Heil or Alex Bilodeau, it's only a couple of things. They're in moguls. It's a 24-second event. If you take soccer or football or baseball, then you obviously have to attend to a number of things at the same time. So the skill set varies a little bit depending on the demands of the sport and certainly, you know, who that athlete is.
Dr. Werdner, to give our audience just an idea, they're probably sitting here trying to imagine what this is all about. Maybe we could go like this. If we had an athlete, take a Jen Heil or an Alex Bilodeau or one of the high-performance athletes that we've had into the system, what are some of the traits you see when they come in? And then what is the impact of the bio-neurofeedback? What kind of things do they get to control? Like, how does it help them improve? For our audience's sake, that would be a real interesting, I think, picture for them to sort of paint in their minds.
For sure. So briefly, there's five modalities physiologically. So there's heart rate and respiration that come. We want them to come into coherence so that they can slow down their central nervous system a little bit just to tell the system, everything's okay, I can be cool. And that's such an important learning for when they're at the top of the hill and they're, you know, 5 minutes before or 4 minutes before they're going to drop in. So those are two modalities. And then we also teach them, we also have an EMG, so a muscle myography piece, because often when we get stressed, our shoulders come up to our ears. Even if we don't know it, that is what happens. So it's how to become aware of that and relax that. And that was certainly one of the things that Alex Bilodeau needed to learn. And then there's skin conductance, which is we measure the sweat response. And when we're stressed, we sweat more and our pores open. So it measures it that way. And that's sort of an internal state of anxiety. And we are teaching them how to recover from that. So primarily on the physiological side with the five modalities, we're teaching athletes how to calm themselves down, because for the most part, athletes, when they get, or anyone, when they are stressed and anxious, they breathe faster, they sweat more, they get tighter. And of course, sport performance is so technical, and it requires them to relax, drop their shoulders down, not relax like you're sitting on a couch, but just calming yourself and saying, I know how to do this, and physiologically doing that. And then from the EEG standpoint, from the brain standpoint, is we're teaching them two very specific skills. One, how to pay attention to something and not pay attention to a whole bunch of other things. So singularly focus. And then how to recover from that focus, because, you know, attending, paying attention to a particular or a couple of cues, again, this is in sports that are not game sports. If I just say on sports like moguls, like 100 meter dash, like 1500 meters, like swimming, it's a couple of cues or two or three cues that you have, and they learn, because they're getting feedback on the screen, they learn what that internal state feels like for them. And so I use the word feeling, but it's not emotional feeling. It's just like, that's what it feels like to just be singularly focused. But those are faster brain waves, so they take a ton of energy. So then the second part of that skill is how to let go of that focus and recover neurologically or psychologically. And those are slower alpha waves. And of course, many of our athletes who are good internationally don't want to go to that state of, everything's okay, I don't need to think about things, because they think thinking more is more effective. So it's how we go shift states between those two, which is so critical and so difficult to learn. And what we have with them hooked up and measuring the electrical activity of the brain and seeing responses on the screen, they actually learn how to modify that. And then what does that feel like for them? And then they can actually take it out into the field without the equipment, because currently we can't, with a few exceptions, we're not able to do that on the field. But that is the next piece that's coming in the next 5 years. I strongly believe we're going to be able to measure EEG when we actually move. And that's going to be a huge step forward.
Wow. Breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. We're talking with Dr. Penny Werdner, the Dean of the Faculty of Kinesiology at the University of Calgary, talking psychology and performance psychology. Dr. Werdner, so many great things there. Can I ask you a question? The difference between performance psychology, as we mentioned, we're talking high performance athletes, and clinical psychology. There's definitely some lines that cross over there. They're very different, but things like performance anxiety, that's a real, real thing. And that's, I think a lot of athletes don't realize how real it can be.
Yeah, and it is sometimes for many a difficult distinction. I mean, we do have athletes, and, you know, we're spending more time now, just to shift a bit in our discussion, but we're spending more time now realizing that, of course, you know, our athletes are part of our general population, and some of our athletes on every national team, you know, have some mental health issues, and they have some issues in their life that can and often do impact performance. And sometimes that requires a clinician. And we're very good at referring to clinicians when we need to. And that's, you know, often the case. But performance psychology is really about, or it is about, you know, helping athletes when they stand on that line, they stand on that hill, they stand on the ice, they stand on the mound, they're able to understand what they need to pay attention to, depending on who they are and the demands of the sport. So that's the, you know, sort of the psychological side, and then the physiological side, that they're able to manage that anxiety and then manage their arousal levels, because of course you need to be much more aggressive in the true sense of that word in hockey, in soccer, in tennis when you're playing against someone, versus being much more calm in, say, the high jump, where it's a highly technical event. So we could go on and on about the differences between sports, but so it's the second part is getting them to understand what those activation levels are, and then how to call them up and recover from them, call them up and recover from them. So that's That's what performance psychology is all about.
Yeah, I know. Fascinating stuff. And I love it when the two worlds come together, when, you know, our sort of, and I say this very humbly, of course, that our mastery of the physiology, I think we have a very, very good understanding of helping athletes achieve on the physical side. But when you can marry that with the technology we now have and the understanding of performance in terms of psychology, what a huge boost to human performance. And you're so right. When we get that real time ability to measure and test and see what's happening during a competition or a movement, that's going to be the next level, most certainly.
Yeah, and some of us in the, you know, sort of sports psychology, performance psychology field, we're talking about psychophysiology. And I think many physiologists are now on board, and certainly the work that I do with athletes, I spend a lot of time talking to the physiologist and the strength and conditioning coach and the coaches to understand it's all part of a performance puzzle. And I think we understand now we can't separate out those two and just think here's where you do the psychology and here's where you do the physical training, and we're trying to put that together with the coach and then for the athlete and with the athlete to give themselves the best chance to manage all that, to be, you know, it's the cliche, but to be the best they can be when it really counts. And we certainly know that is not easy when millions and millions of people are watching. So it's always a challenge, but it is the really fun part of the job.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I will say this, I did my degree at University of Calgary, so it's so great to talk to you here today. But I can tell you beyond a doubt that the experiences I had at that school in the classroom, and also I had the real privilege to work in the Olympic Training Center there at the university as well as with the varsity teams, to have that mixture of experiences at the UFC really, really set me on the course that I took in my professional career. So I want to thank everybody at the university for that. And I also want to thank you for your time today. Fantastic conversation.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot for the kudos to University of Calgary. That's terrific.
Credit where credit's due, I always say. Well, that's the show for today, everybody. I want to thank Dr. Penny Werthner for joining us, talking about the psychology of sport, but also now our ability to train the brain and the technology that's brought us to this point. I'm very excited about that area of athlete development. It's one of those areas of untapped potential. And now we have some technology that's allowing us to get in there and help athletes understand how to control their thoughts, their brains, their focus, their heart rates, their body temperature. It's out of this world, science fiction kind of stuff. And great things to come around the corner. And of course, I want to thank you guys for listening today. If you have any questions, comments, or remarks, please do get to us. Or if you have a topic or an idea you'd like us to investigate, let us know. We may dedicate a segment of a show or the entire show to your idea. And if you want to listen back and get some of the previous episodes of Crush Performance, we're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and you can get us at our website, Crush Performance. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.